Welcome to Hanging on Every Word, accessible Bible study for the average Christian. This is the podcast for people who want to grow deeper in God's Word, develop confidence in their personal Bible study, and not do it alone. I'm your host, Whitney Aiken, an average Christian with a passion for helping others fall in love with Scripture. Today, we're going to savor the truth, uncover the beauty, and hang on every word of God. Welcome to episode 2. In the last episode, I gave you a personal introduction, the inspiration behind this podcast, and what you can expect in our time together. If you haven't already listened, I encourage you to go back and start there. On this episode, we're going to spend a few minutes talking about how to study the Bible well. I'm going to give you some tips for reading, resources to consider, and methods that have helped me as I seek to study God's Word well. Now, there are a lot of great books out there on how to read and study God's Word. I looked up the topic on Pinterest just the other day and scrolled through page after page of blog posts and articles. You'll likely find a lot of different ideas and methods, and all of it, honestly, can be a little bit overwhelming sometimes. And so I thought I'd start by telling you just about my own personal experience with Bible study. I started as a teenager picking up the Bible and reading one chapter a day, and that was maybe 5 days a week, but more often, probably a couple of days here or there in a pretty sporadic pattern. I often felt confused. I didn't really retain a lot of the information I read. Once in a while, something stuck with me, but I was mostly just familiarizing myself with what was actually there. And though I didn't make a lot of groundbreaking theological progress in this stage of life, I actually think this first step of opening my Bible and reading was incredibly valuable and important to helping me understand the Bible. We're often encouraged not to make time with the Lord like a check to do on our to-do list. I would actually argue that making daily Bible reading a check on our list isn't a terrible thing. Now, hear me out. Here's why. First, there's a real resistance to reading God's Word. It's not something that comes naturally to most people. Have you ever sat down with a cup of coffee and scrolled through your phone while your Bible sat right next to you and you thought the whole time, I'm going to read that really soon? Or maybe you got to the end of a long day and thought, oh man, I totally forgot to read my Bible again. I mean, it happens to all of us. And I credit my husband with saying that we don't have to be intentional about scrolling our phones or watching Netflix. So in our house, at the end of a day when we want to wind down, my husband and I flip on a show. We don't have to write it in our planner or discuss the plan for the week beforehand. It's so easy. But that's not the case with our Bibles. We have to be intentional about opening up God's Word. We have to have a plan, a time, a place, a goal, and yes, even a box to check off on our to-do list. Because the truth is, the resistance to opening God's Word that we sometimes feel is very real. We have an enemy, and the Bible is our weapon against him. Ephesians lists the Word of God as the sword of the Spirit when it describes the armor of God. Notice that it's our only tool of offense listed. Scripture is what Jesus used to ward off the temptation of Satan. Satan hates God's Word. He hates when you open it. And so he'll subtly do whatever he can to keep it closed. Second, when we get in God's Word, we actually start to realize what's in God's Word. Now, I know that sounds super simple, but it's sadly uncommon for people to actually know what's in the Bible anymore. People read verses in very topical settings, pulled out of context and used to support a message without knowing what book it's from, who the author is, what genre it is, or what the meaning for the original listeners might have been. Now, the Bible is a compilation of 66 books, all inspired by the Holy Spirit, but also all written by different authors over a few thousand years. It includes many different types of genres and different audiences throughout history. Starting with reading gets us familiarized with the rhythm and the sounds, the language, repetition, reoccurring themes, and just the content of the Bible. And finally, when we read God's Word, even without great theological depth, we also realize what's not in the Bible, which perhaps is just as important as realizing what's in the Bible. So many of those proverbial sayings that we credit as scripture actually aren't even in there. And it's important to distinguish between what culture has passed down and what scripture actually teaches us. Now, for me, my next step of growth in Bible study was to read a chronological Bible, and I would highly recommend this step if you haven't done this yet. This is my first time to read the Bible all the way through, and I think I was in my early 20s at this point. It was so eye-opening to understand the reality that the Bible isn't compiled in order. I did not know that before. It helped me place the history of the Old Testament, especially. So reading chronologically helped me piece together how books related. For instance, how 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings, along with Psalms and Proverbs, Song of Solomon and Ecclesiastes, worked beautifully together to tell the story of David and Solomon through different genre and perspective. Now, my next step in developing in my Bible study came from discovering really valuable outside resources. I started reading some theologians that opened my eyes wide to the beauty in Scripture that I hadn't seen before. Now, some of these were C.S. Lewis and Tim Keller in the early years, and this is a practice that I've continued throughout the last 10 years or so. There are so many incredible resources for illuminating our understanding of Scripture, from ancient authors and church history to modern authors. I love modern authors like Jen Wilkin and Nancy Guthrie, especially for women's related Bible study. I'm currently reading both Delighting in the Trinity by Michael Reeves and The Goldsworthy Trilogy by Graham Goldsworthy, and both are just blowing my mind and being doused in highlighter. And then along with books, podcasts are an incredible resource. My absolute favorite podcast, apart from this one, of course, is Knowing Faith. And you could also find sermons by great pastors, past and present, which is an incredible resource. So I've listened to my fair share of R.C. Sproul and John Piper sermons through podcasts. Now, I'm telling you my specific resources here because, if I'm honest, there have been seasons where I had no idea where to turn for truly helpful, solid encouragement in Scripture. And I found these names from resources other podcasts gave me or other people gave me, even from my husband introducing me to them. And so just a note on resourcing names on a podcast like this. We have a tendency as humans to gear toward fandom, where we join behind a teacher in unmovable loyalty. But I have found that there are no Bible teachers I agree with 100% of the time. So keeping open hands to glean what's important and let go of what's not is really important for gaining helpful resources without feeling like we have to align ourselves in allegiance to one teacher. That's just a little aside for you. Now, currently, I'm in a season of exploring different mediums for Bible reading. And by that, I just mean I'm changing how I read the Bible on a daily basis. For example, I'm currently reading through the Pentateuch, or the first five books of the Bible. That's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. There's some amazing stuff in those books. There's also some dry stuff in those books. And so some days I read from my regular ESV Bible straight through the content. Other days, I just read one chapter in my ESV Bible and kind of sit and soak in the commentary there. And then other days, I let the audio version on my Bible app play, and I listen for longer stints of time than I might be able to sit down and read. This has been helpful for gaining both the bird's eye view of the content, as well as having an opportunity to dive deep down and really pick apart certain chapters or verses for deeper study. It's also been helpful for keeping things fresh and interesting. If you're going to read your Bible every day, which is my sincere hope for you and me, it's going to get old. I'm just being honest. You're going to get into a rut. And so changing up how we read God's word can be really helpful in keeping us engaged in Scripture. Now, what I've just told you, this is just an example of my own personal progression of biblical literacy that's happened pretty organically over time. Your story of growing familiar with the Bible likely looks different. And I hope you'll take some time to think through the progression you've followed in knowing your Bible. It can be a helpful exercise to do, to understand where we can continue to grow, but also to take account of the ways God has grown us to this point, which can be very encouraging and also motivating to help us continue. Maybe you're in that initial phase of simply opening the Bible and making reading a habit. Maybe you're discovering how the historical narrative of the Bible fits together. Maybe you're soaking in supplemental resources that help illuminate the word. Or maybe, like the majority of Americans out there, you haven't really picked up your Bible in a while, but you're looking for a fresh start. Here's the good news. It doesn't matter where you are, if you're seasoned or struggling with your Bible reading. I'm going to give you a few basic tools that you can apply to whatever scripture you're reading to help you grow your confidence in Bible study. These are the same tools we'll use together on this podcast as we study through specific sections of Scripture. Now, I'll start by saying that none of these ideas are unique to me. They're ideas I've learned from other great Bible teachers who have helped form and guide my own Bible study. First, and pretty basic here, you're going to need a Bible. Now, this step was simple, but sometimes choosing a translation can be a little intimidating. There are some very helpful Bible translation comparison charts out there on the internet that show how each translation falls on a spectrum from very literal to very not literal. I personally love to read the ESV translation, which is pretty far in the word-for-word side of the chart, which means it's more of a literal translation than other versions. I grew up reading almost exclusively the NIV version, which is kind of in the middle, very literal and very not. It's also very helpful to have a good study Bible. Again, I love and would recommend my ESV study Bible for the commentary, as well as the introductions to each book that it gives, and the articles on different issues in Christianity and doctrinal beliefs that are listed in the back. All of this is included in a study Bible, and so choosing a study Bible can be a great aid as you seek to understand your Bible better. It can also be helpful to have a good concordance, like a Strong's Concordance, on hand to look up words. Now, a concordance will take a word in Hebrew or Greek and help give deeper meaning to the definition, as well as give other context where you can find the same word with the same intended meaning throughout Scripture. But I'm going to be honest with you and tell you that while I have a huge Strong's Concordance, I usually just utilize a free online tool like Blue Letter Bible to reference certain words. It has the same information as my Strong's Concordance. I love my Strong's Concordance, but without the giant book part. Another helpful practice to try for Bible study is to print out a copy of the book or chapter you're studying. Now, you can do this just by looking up the text and the translation you prefer on the internet and then printing it out from there. This is helpful because it lays the text out in front of you and it gives you room to take notes or mark things that you might not normally want to put in your Bible. I've printed books of the Bible that are so marked up, they look absolutely crazy, but I love being able to take notes that way. Okay, so you have the text and translation. You found an online source like the Blue Letter Bible to look up words for further clarity and definition, maybe even find some commentary, and maybe you've printed off the book or chapter that you want to take notes in. Now there's nothing left to do but to read. And we're going to start that here on the podcast next week. I'm going to keep our starting point a surprise until then, but I bet you can't guess what book we'll be studying together. It's an obscure one. That's the only hint I'll give you. As we read, we can keep in mind a few important details to think through. First, we want to start a book at the beginning and read it as a whole entity. As a general rule, it's best to avoid jumping around scripture from place to place or doing that whole like flip open and stick your pointer finger on a passage to see where to read. This is what gets us confused and often way out of context as we study scripture. Instead, start with a book. Any book will do. I think starting with Matthew, for instance, is a great place to start. Matthew talks about Jesus. He's pretty straightforward. He has a lot of richness and depth related back to the Old Testament, so there's plenty to study, and he records incredible teachings by Jesus. This is, by the way, the number two obstacle for people reading their Bibles. They don't know where to start. So if that's you, any gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, is a great starting point. You'll get an overview of Jesus' life and ministry as well as his teachings. Now, when you pick out your book, or if you're already reading in a book as you listen to this podcast, or as we start studying our book together next week, there are a couple of things you need to establish. First, who is the author of the book? For example, John wasn't written by John the Baptist, but by the Apostle John, which can sometimes be confusing. Genesis was written by Moses, not Abraham or even Adam. David didn't write all the Psalms, and Paul wrote a lot of the New Testament. Identifying the author will help ground the book, relate it to other books, and the more you read from a specific author, the more you'll identify their writing style and goals in writing. Next, you want to figure out what is the genre of the book. This is where the English nerd in me comes out. The Bible has a lot of different genres. Is this a historical account, a prophetic book, wisdom literature like Proverbs, poetry, an epistle or letter like Paul's letter to the churches? Identifying the genre is really important to help us interpret the words we read. For instance, you would read and understand a history textbook differently than you would read and understand a book of poetry. Then we need to figure out when is the timeline of this book. Where does the book fall in the timeline of Scripture? But not just Scripture, where does it fall in the timeline of world history? Now, I'm kind of embarrassed to admit to you that I was already into adulthood when I actually understood that all those stories I grew up hearing in church about Jesus' birth and life were like the same time as Julius Caesar and the Roman Empire. For some reason, my Bible class and my history class were very compartmentalized in my head. This is not how history works, though. So placing our biblical book within the context of biblical history and world history is super helpful for understanding what the listeners might have been experiencing, which leads me to the next thing we need to figure out: who is the intended audience? Who was the book written to? Was it the Israelite nation, a group of newly formed Christian churches scattered in the dispersion? Was it to Jewish or Gentile believers? And for that matter, was it to believers or non-believers? It's so important to understand who the intended audience was, because we must read the text in light of how they would have received it, not in light of what it means to us in our modern society. Understanding the original audience and who the words were intended for help us stay true to their intended purpose. Then, after we understand the original audience, we can often take the leap of applying the same sentiment to our own lives within the right context. All of these questions will help establish the context of your book or passage of Scripture. Now, this step can take a little bit of research, or it can be as easy as just reading the introduction of the book in your study Bible. But don't skip this part. It will help us as we seek to understand our daily readings with more clarity and depth. As we read, understanding the basics of the context, we could keep three questions at the forefront of our mind. Question one is, what does this scripture tell us about God? It has taken me a long time to realize this one. You aren't the main character of the Bible. Neither am I. Neither is David, Paul, or Moses, for that matter. God is. God is the main character in every single story of the Bible. The second question we want to ask is, what did this mean to the original listeners? This is where we get that intended purpose. What is the purpose of this prophecy to its Israelite listeners? Or how is this letter from Paul received in the church? And the third question we want to ask is, how will this change how I view myself and God? When we save that personal application for last, we give the text a chance to actually lead us to the most practical conclusion of application, rather than asserting our own takeaways into Scripture. Scripture leads the path toward spiritual refinement. Now, we'll ask these three questions together as we read through the text on this podcast. Now, finally, studying God's word is amplified when we study it intentionally. And so each week we'll also focus on finding two important things in our passage. First, we'll try to find the storyline. This is identifying how this passage fits within the great story of God's redemption of his people through the person of Jesus. The amazing thing about the Bible is that even though it's a separate books written over thousands of years by different people, it's tied together with very specific reoccurring themes that help us tie Scripture together into one magnificent story. We'll look for clues to connect our passages to the storyline of the Bible, and then we'll try to find our way to the cross. Would you believe me if I said every part of the Bible points us to Jesus? Even the Old Testament, the parts that might seem kind of dry or foreign, are pointing us toward a Savior. Because we live on this side of history, knowing the story of Christ's life, death, and resurrection, we have the joy of looking at all of Scripture through the light of Jesus. I personally can hardly wait to dive into Scripture with you next week. It's a privilege to open God's Word and learn, and I'm confident we're going to learn together, to grow together, and to fall more deeply in love with God together. Thanks for tuning in to Hanging on Every Word. If you want to help more friends find this resource, be sure to follow the show and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Until next time, go read your Bible, friend.